Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me here on the old farm is Mr. Ronnie Karam. How are you, Ronnie?
Good. What's going on with you?
Not much. We are midweek. And just a reminder, come join us on Patreon at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, where you can access our bonus episode, which is a trailer trash of the new Roni trailer. And also ad-free listening, newsletter, all sorts of great stuff, video. So come join us over there. Today, we are discussing the McBee family dynasty, where the Tallow drama continues to consume the brain trust known as
the
McBee sons. Yeah.
Brain trust.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that Tallow. It's very,
Tallow.
Very, very controversial business. Tallow.
It's hot business. We all love a Tallow drama. And as noted on the House of the Dragon recap, is that Tallow made an appearance even there in Westeros because there's a Tallow shortage. And
one of the poor people was like, "We need more Tallow for the candles. There's no Tallow for the torches. Where's the Tallow?" And Rhaenyra, the queen, was like, "You are the most pessimistic person when it comes to Tallow, and I'm sorry that Casey has everything in her home fridge. She needs help, and this is why we should all vote to give my girlfriend a 5 minutes, 20% of this company."
So we are catching up with this family. They are still in their RV. They just dropped off dad, and they just dropped him off in prison, and they're going through the streets, and Steve Jr. is like, "Yeah, don't worry, there'll be better days ahead. Days of waking up at 4 a.m. and journaling. Days of coming up with memberships in the afternoon. Days of journaling at night also. Days of sending our kids off to the private school of their choice. Of our choice, I should say. God damn it, who would ever put that idea in my head that the kids get a choice? Anyway, better days ahead. And this is the final step. Don't you worry."
And Christy, the mom, zoned out, kind of robot-eyed mom. It's just like, "Don't worry. Now the countdown begins." What's that mean? Just the countdown of waiting for daddy to get out, right?
Yeah, it's for daddy to come out. But like, why do you care? Why do you care, Christy?
Christy's like crying and stuff. She's really upset over Steve Sr. lately. I mean, she really forgave. Talk about forgiving her relationship. Good God, Christy really did. So she asks the boys how they're feeling. And Cole's like, "Well, you know, it feels weird because I feel like we talked about this all last year, like we prepared for it and like anything in our business is. But now that it's happened, it's like we talked about dad going to jail and then dad went to jail. It's crazy."
He's a real cause and effect kind of guy. He's all sad. He's like, "I won't be able to see my daddy for 2 years. I'm like, "There are people who won't see their daddy for 30 years, so let's relax." And then Christy.
"Well, it's just weird because whenever we're going through something tough or something sad, or we're just looking for the perfectly sized blonde woman to send our future kid to membership school with, we call daddy. That's who we call. Now we can't call daddy. Unless it's collect. I think that only works reverse. Do you call prisons collect? I don't even know how to call daddy.
We definitely need some sort of voice of reason and some advice."
And Chrissy's like, "Well, I'm here to help any way I can, assuming that the advice you need is how big of an iced latte you can order from a coffee shop. The answer is very, very big."
Very she got big. A huge one today. I'm sure you noticed it. But I was thinking of you. I thought this is like a shout out to Ben. They even did a close up. She was talking and then the camera panned down and gave a nice full close up to that.
It was huge. It was like a log.
It was as big as her. Yeah. put some corn straw on the top of her head and it would look like Christy with a spray tan.
I mean, she could have cradled that drink in her arms and become a cast member of Twin Peaks. So, Christy's like, "It's hitting me that I'm the only parent, and I know that they're adults, but I think they're just so buried with everything going on, and I just want them to have fun again, because boys will be boys, and, you know, life will get better. My poor, poor boys going suffering so much in life." We've spent the entire season watching these guys mope about having to sell HQ, selling off a combine, She's got to sell off some soybeans. Meanwhile, they're sitting there. They have enormous houses. They have city condos. They go off to Vegas. And we're supposed to feel bad for these guys that like, oh, no, things are tough right now. Please give me a break.
Yeah, at least your cars are clean. So she's like, it's hitting me that I'm the only parent. And I know they're adults, but I worry for my boys. You know, life is going to get better. Things are going to get better. I love you, boys. And they're all like, we're going to get through this. So then the girls, Casey and Allie, are like, Allie, do you want to go back to the RV and have a discussion? And she's like, sure. So they go back and they're asking about Texas and Stephen meeting the family. And she's like, I mean, it's just like so much pressure because like I thought my dad was going to like give me his blessing. But like my dad didn't even say anything, like literally nothing.
That's yeah. And so she's like, yeah, my dad always is like, if you have to ask, that's your answer. And it took me like a long time to figure that out. And I'd be like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, did you not hear what I just said? If you have to ask, that's your answer. I'm like, but dad, I need to ask about you're asking about the answer. And anyway, this went on for 20 years and I think I understand it now. And like, that's always been his thing, is that he didn't say anything. And my family's the most important thing to me. And I've messed it up in the past. And maybe like being with people that they didn't approve of, like I told them, like I would never do that again. And like, I have to like verbally hear, we're giving you the go. We see this for you. And I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. I need to hear that. Okay. And we'd love this for you. It's a big deal for me.
Yeah. And Allie's like, well, you know, like, yeah, that sounds really rough. It's tough having two Allies. So, influencer Allie
had to have so much personality.
Oh my God, I know. Okay. So she's like, yeah, obviously, like, I don't know you guys very well. Like, and obviously, when you start dating, you know, like they say you don't even know someone until 6 months. I mean, like, I was shocked, like, how everybody's saying that Steven gets mad all the time or that he has a temper. That's like crazy to me. Like, I haven't even seen that. So, like, how many months in do you need to be to get that?
Yeah. Thankfully, it's not documented anywhere on television. So Casey's like, yeah, well, I'm sure Steven told you, but him and I have been having a few conversations about, the tallow business. And I know he wants to bring himself and you, into that. And Allie's like, oh yeah, that's what I told Steven too. I was like, I know there's been conversations around it. And I'm like, I don't know what you, like, I've said this to him candidly. I was like, I don't know, like, if Casey needs my help. I mean, like, I want to help. I told you that I want to help. I don't know if you need my help.
Yeah, and she's playing it very much like, I mean, like, Steven, I told her, like, I'd help, but, like, you know, like, he wants me to have ownership, and she's probably thinking, who's this chick who's asking for ownership? Like, I was not part of these conversations, okay? Like, I mean, Casey's probably really confused, so I'm going to clear it up by confusing her some more. Not that it's that hard to do, because it is Casey, you know? So Casey's like, well, you know, it's hard. Because Steven really does have a temper. And so we see a montage of Steve Jr. just being like, God damn it, Cole, how dare you sign a lease on soybeans without discussing me?
Yeah, he's a great guy. And Casey's like, he's scary when he's mad. And Allie's like, well, what scares you about him? He's just scary. It's like an explosion. Like, everything's kind of like Steven's where, like, no way. And I just, like, I don't know how to use my voice, so I'll just use it slowly. And like, he says he's listening to me and stuff, but I feel like he's not. And like, I just think we should like sit and like talk.
Like, yeah. So it's like, yeah, we should. Cause like, I don't like bad tempers. That's not God. And so Casey's very intimidated. And, you know, she thinks that they would get further with a meeting that's the couples, not just Casey and Steven, but we'll have Cole, who, by the way, never does anything to stand up for Casey. So I don't know why she's calling Cole, because all Cole is going to do is agree with Steven and just word it in a way that's different. And then Allie. So now they're going to have a couples meeting about it. So let's go over to McMee's Coffee and Car Wash. You get free coffees with your car wash.
Yeehaw. So Galena's at her desk and she's wearing green, the color of money. And Jesse, the boys come in, or Cole and Jesse come in. And, you know, Jesse has a baby, has the summer in his arms. And so Galena's like, oh, baby, this is nice. And Cole's like, well, now that my dad is officially gone and not working here, we got to figure out how to redistribute that responsibility and make sure everything's getting done. I was like, okay, you guys seem like you're really on top of that now in this entire episode and when you go to Vegas next week.
Also, Cole and Jesse are such wussies. So you remember that just last week, you guys were coming in here telling Galena she needs to stop going out of town and she's a do nothing, good for nothing. And now you're coming in here like, Galena, what do we need to do? Of course.
Yeah, Galena, before they go out of town.
Yeah, before they go out of town. Exactly. So Galena's like, well, I feel like it was always Steven, Steven, Steven. You know what I mean? Like, hit me in the face with football. Am I right? Am I right, Bradley Bunch? So he is gone now. And now we all know Steven is traveling to Austin more often. I'm just talking a lot of Stevens in the same place. You try to keep up with sentence. And I like that Galena's immediately getting revenge with her. Oh, and you know, Steven Jr., never here now, always in Austin. Uh-oh.
Yeah. So then Allie appears out of nowhere. Non-influencer Allie. I like to call this one Charisma Allie. And she's like, oh, I'm here. I just gotta get the baby. Okay. When did Summer eat? And Jesse's like, oh, she's like, you don't know when Summer ate? He's like, oh, she's like, okay, I'm gonna go. So then Galena's like, well, so I know you guys just got back from trip. How did it go saying goodbye to love of my life? And Jesse's like, it was like hard for everybody. And like, I think it was hard on him and like, you know, to like actually say goodbye. Yeah. So, oh yes. I wish I was there just to kill a chicken to show that I'm part of family, you know?
But obviously, someone had to be here. Good old dependable Galena, okay?
Yeah, well, you know what? You're doing more for Papa than by staying busy than you could if by like coming in the RV with us. So, you know. So
taking care of business, I agree, which is what I did. So Galena is really rubbing it in. She's like, when it comes to business, it feels like boys have been completely off rails. Am I right, everybody? Hold on. Alexis Bellino texting me. Okay. I will be there possibly Saturday or Sunday. I'm sorry for the automatic insistence that you are part of car wash text. Respond Y or N.
Hey, by the way, boys, here's an example of what we're sending out weekly to all of the managers. How many cars we washed? What is our current membership?
Membership! Someone say something about membership!
Oh, I don't know who that was. And, you know, projections. And Jesse's like, yeah, I'd be interested to see at our events that we throw what we do here, like the events that are here, to what are we doing to gain membership from that? She's like, well, it's about generating brand awareness. I'm like, are we literally watching people talk about getting memberships to a car wash right now?
On Popo? Yes, that's what they're talking about. He's like, I just want to make sure that, you know, like the things that we're doing here, like translating into memberships for the car wash, you know, we need to make sure these parties are really bringing people in. Yes, what everybody wants from their local car wash. A party, a weekly cocktail party at the car wash.
Guys, I would love to join for dinner tonight. Thank you so much for getting that reservation. I know it was a tough one. I've got a party at the car wash I have to go to, so brain check.
Yeah. It's super important, guys. It's community building, okay?
You guys going to the car wash party? Okay. So Galena's like, well, I know a lot has been happening, but you're going to NFR, right? And Cole's like, NFR? No, NFR. Oh, I was going to go to NFR. I don't know what that is. Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of want to figure out getting a booth out there to all our stuff for next year. So, yeah, I want to go to NFR. So Galena's like, yes.
I'm fully in support of this. For those who don't know, this means NFR, the National Finals Rodeo. This is where we will promote car wash.
Hey, is your bull getting dirty as it chases clowns around the rodeo? Don't worry, we have special bull deal when you come to the car wash. Not just for cars anymore, also bulls.
Bull. It is the Super Bowl of rodeo. And then we get a clip of this Super Bowl of rodeo. There's like 10 people in the audience. Like, whoa. And Jesse's like, yeah, it's like there's all sort of events and sideshows. It's like Cowboy Christmas.
Cowboy Christmas is the name of a real event. Also probably gay porn. So he's like, Cowboy Christmas, it's a huge convention. It lasts 2 weeks. You have everything you can imagine for Western-themed products. Hats, boots, hats, boots. Things you put on your
wait, hold on.
Seat that look like
cows. Bandanas, boots.
Hats. There's so many different boots. And it'll be a good opportunity to get out there and see if that's like something next year, because we could sell tallow. Because, you know, when you buy your cowboy hat, you're like, this cowboy hat's good, but it would be better if it had meat fat on it. So where's the tallow, too?
Yeah. Well, you know, your dad is away. We should be focusing on bull wash. But you guys going there advocating for products, promoting it, that is taking care of business. I say you go to Las Vegas.
And Cole's like, well, I mean, you know, we will be. That's about all I had talking about business. And that's done today. Meeting's over. Galena said to go to Vegas. She's like, well, this is not all I had. I have one more thing on agenda.
Did we see news? Masha went to prison for speeding ticket? Ha, ha, ha. Karma. She's a bitch, but she was a bitch I want to have lunch with. Am I right, boys?
You know what? While you're at Cowboy Christmas, I'm now experiencing Galena Christmas because I got my gift, a mugshot of Masha. Ha, ha,
ha. Yes, Masha has been taken to jail for 2 days. For speeding. Now, how does she have to go to jail for 2 days when Galena's drunk ass crashed into a whole tree and she got out? I guess that it really is the problem with Steve Sr. being in prison now, because he's not going to be able to bail him out of everything or call the cops and, you know, one hand washes the other.
Cut to Cole McBee like, wow, Masha going to jail. I mean, that's going to be 2 whole days we won't see her. I mean, by the time she gets out of jail, Blair won't even know who she is.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Let's go to the Farm Fulfillment Center. Okay. Allie and Steven are meeting up with Casey and Cole for their couples Casey Tallow business meeting. So here we go. Allie's like, deep breath, babe. Do not lose your temper. Not that I've ever seen it and have no idea what that's like, but calm. Deep breath. Deep breath. If I was saying this on Instagram, I'd be getting paid $10,000, by the way.
And then in come Cole and Casey, two professional lumberers. Like, want to go lumber up there? Yeah, let's go lumber up there. So they come in. And Stephen Jr. is like,
hey, what was that Mel Robbins thing? People's energy? You're either a bluebird sky or a thunderstorm?
And she's like, yeah, do the bluebird sky.
Ah, bluebirds!
Okay, well.
Mel Robbins.
Steve Jones sitting around thing? Listening
to Mel Robbins. It's hilarious.
Ridiculous. So Steven Jr. tells us,
Casey and I had such a good relationship that it's really just fallen apart over the last few months. We've been butting heads for a while now, and that's just like causing so much drama and tension.
Which is weird, because I was like, I never knew that they were best friends. I don't even see that. I feel like they've never liked each other, but also I literally don't care. So Steven's
that
like,
that seemed to just come in today where suddenly Casey and Steven were best friends and everybody knew they were best friends. I don't remember that being in here at all, but I guess
that's why the show is so bad. Like, how are they planting the seed now in the episode that they need to call upon it? Like, it's called like building stakes into shit. Like, this should have been like something in episode one. Like, Casey and I have been like, become like really good friends. So that way now when they have fights over the tallow business, it means something to us. But instead, we're just sort of have this like low wattage tallow situation. And then we have a bombshell at the end of the episode. I'm like, you mean you've been sitting on something that could have been driven some interesting cast dynamics all season and just going to casually drop it at the end of this episode of like tallow? I was like, this is why I can't stand this show. They're so bad at storytelling on this show.
Yeah, this really came out of nowhere. So they sit down. Casey is like really pissy. She's just like has a look on her face like she's over it. And she's mad. You know, she doesn't want, she's kind of a pouty look. So he's like, okay, well, thank you guys for coming in here today. And Casey's like, let's just get this over with. Aren't you the one who called the meeting, Casey? They just showed in the previous scene, you telling Allie on the RV, I think that we as couples should discuss this. And now they have a meeting and now you're all pissed off. It's happening.
I support her being pissed off. I'd be pissed off too. You're dealing with Stephen Jr. He's so condescending. The last time they had a conversation, he was a total dick to her.
And I'm not saying I don't get why she would be pissed off at him in general. It's just weird that she would call the meeting and then act like pissy that she's even at the meeting and be like, let's just get this over with. Like someone forced her to come in here. So,
well, you know,
you called the meeting.
You know, it's more than this. You know, it was like, let's get together at the house because this way I can take care of Blair. And then Stephen's like, no, it's going to be in my territory. And he was probably a whole dick about it. And then it's a whole thing because Stephen didn't want to do it someplace. They finally have to go to the Farm Fulfillment Center, which was inconvenient for everyone. You know, it was like there was more stuff going into this meeting than what we saw on camera. I'm going to be conspiratorial about it.
Okay. So he's like, well, but to tell a business, we've been needing to meet for a while now because I want this figured out. So that way it benefits all of us and there's no hidden animosity, okay? Or someone feel like they're taking more of the blame than they should be, Casey. Who's not doing anything, okay?
And Cole's like, well, she just felt like the way that everybody's been, you know, like coming on, you know, and, you know, she's doing lots of stuff. And then people are like, hey, you can't keep up with nothing. But, like, she's doing stuff when she can, you know, but she's got a baby and stuff. And there's, like, a baby at the house. So it's, like, hard to keep up with stuff. But then people maybe get mad that she's not keeping up with stuff. What were we talking about again? I forgot.
Yeah, because, like, no one offers to help unless there's, like, a percentage being talked about. And he's like,
well, I don't think anyone should be expected to help unless they've got 500% of the company.
And Casey's like, yeah, but, like, I help out wherever I need to help out all the time. And Allie's like, when you own a business, that's usually how it goes. High five, Stephen. I got one in. Finance degree. Finance.
Yeah, Allie, stay out of it. This isn't your part. And Casey's like, but I'm not talking about the tallow, though. I mean the other businesses I help out with, you know? So,
and Stephen is like, well,
you know what? If we're expected to help, 100% of the profit shouldn't be funneling to you, is what I was saying.
She's like, I agree, but like, do you even know how to make tallow? You haven't even stopped by to look at it. I make tallow.
And he's like, no, I have not stopped to look at it. That's true. I have no idea what's going on in any of this business. That doesn't stop me from saying I do. And stop me from getting a percentage of it. And stop me from saying I should be the boss of everything. Okay?
She just pulled the do you even lift brew card about tallow.
Truly, because it's so Steven. He's like this with every aspect of the business. He's like, I'm the boss. They're like, you just flew in here from like LA or wherever the hell he hangs out in the not shooting part of the season. He's like, I know everything there is. What do you mean you bought a soybean? What do you mean? Soybean.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So Casey's like, Stephen and I have a complicated relationship and we were like really good friends at one point, but he's also my future brother-in-law. He's also now my business partner who tries to be my boss in every conversation we have. And I just feel like he talks down to me every single time. And so then Stephen's like,
as far as Allie making sure that she's incentivized, the value you bring to the online sales does become important. I mean, what are your thoughts, Cole, Casey? Correct me if I'm wrong. This is kind of a marketing genius we got right here. I mean, Dunn Deutsch is more like we got Allie Deutsch right here. This is a smart business lady right here.
Cole's like, well, I agree. And I do think that, like, something that I want, like, Casey working with you on, like, is like maybe she can learn from you and how she can, like, sell stuff on, like, Instagram and things like that and such.
Yeah, but you know what? There's some concern that if Allie comes and helps with the marketing and then we break up in 2.5 months, then she leaves forever. And what do you pay? You know, okay, how about this, Allie? Why don't you just, you're paid a commission based on everything you sell right now. And that way it's immediate.
And she's like, oh, my normal commission is 20% on 10,000 a post. So yeah, there's no way.
Okay, so you don't just want to help. Like if you say like, I just want to help, then that just means guiding. I don't think she should be working for free for these people anyway. And I don't think Casey's suggesting that. Cole kind of is. But I think Cole's just saying, why don't you give her the know-how and see if she can do it or whatever. Or I think if McBee Farms is going to be getting 40%, why wouldn't marketing and stuff be part of that budget? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I think they're all just very dumb people. So Cole is like,
I just put a needle into your brain. You're like, lobotomized you.
Cole's like, Steven's just trying to give Allie part of his business to keep her around. I mean, it's kind of probably going to be a little harder to break up when you're business partners. And I've heard people baby trapping others, but I've heard business trapping. Steven's definitely doing that. So Allie's like, I don't know. I mean, I just don't see my role in this. I'm going to be honest. This is between you guys. I'll support you on the back where and where I can. But if I'm going to get involved, it's going to look pretty different. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Thank you for your support, Barbara Corcoran.
I get that Allie's a pretty successful influencer, but that doesn't mean running. She's not running the skincare companies that she's doing influencing work for. If they're paying her $10,000, you know, they're making it sound like she knows everything. She runs skincare companies. She's an influencer. Come on.
Yeah. It's not the same.
Is it? Do you think it's crazy? I don't think an influencer would just take a 20%. They would get paid by the post, but I don't know. I don't know how much you get. $10,000, not you personally, but people get $10,000 a post. That's a lot.
Yes, like, for sure. But like the other thing is, people who do work for companies, it's reasonable that they don't get ownership stakes. They get salary, commission. There's like other ways you can incentivize someone to do work that does not involve giving up an entire fucking percentage. It's just ridiculous. I mean, like, it really bothers me that I have to spend time thinking about what the business structure of this tallow business is going to be and having to like weigh in with my opinion. But this is where we are in the McBee family drama, like this tallow population. So Steven's like, he's like saying that this is fair. And Casey basically says she wants McBee to be the majority owner. And Cole's like, I'm thinking the farms get 40, Casey gets 30, and Steven, you get 30. And Allie's like, well, I think like, what's your day-to-day going to be? Like, well, how's that going to go? And Steven and Cole's saying that like, Steven's going to run the business. And Steven's like, yeah, I'm going to do website, operations, fulfillment, jerking off every few hours. And there's no more money out of the pocket from your end. Okay. And then all the funds go back into the company and no one's going to take any funds out. I will tell you the one thing you know about the McBees. We are not going to take any funds out from places that should not be taking funds out of from. Okay, you have my word and my daddy's word on that.
Here's the thing. They just took more money from, they just took a bigger percentage from Casey, and Cole's supposed to be standing up for Casey. He just took more of a percentage from her.
I know. Why
wasn't it originally that Cole wasn't originally a bigger percentage? Wasn't it supposed to be like 40-40-20 or something? McBee, then Allie, then Casey, then 20% to her. And now it's Casey gets 30% and Steven gets 30%. And the farm still gets 40. Isn't Steven part of the farm? I'm confused.
I thought it was going to be 60-40. Casey with the 60. Like,
no. Yeah, this is. I love that she's like, Cole, come in and stand up for me. And then Cole lowers her percent. He lowers the percentage. So Allie's like, well, you guys need to align because like that was a pressing point for both of you. Like everyone wants to get paid, right? Because Steven goes, yeah, all the funds are going back into the company and no one is taking any funds out. She's like, well, people should get paid, right? And Casey goes, well, I haven't gotten paid anyway. So what am I missing? Okay, let me get this straight. You had your man come in here to sit with you and bargain a deal. He's lowered your percentage and now you don't get any money at all. What the fuck? What kind of partner is that?
It's like watching a bunch of bowling pins trying to hammer out a deal. Like, I'm just waiting for that ball to come down the alley and clear it out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So Allie's like, yeah, this isn't how you do business. There's no operating agreement. Like, they haven't even narrowed down exactly what everyone's role is. I don't know what's going on. So Steven Jr.'s like, okay, so now, just to make this clear, I get a bigger percentage. McBee gets a bigger percent, and Allie gets less of a percentage and never makes any money. Okay, is that a fair deal to everybody?
They're like, yeah, I'm really glad. Casey's like, I'm really glad with what we did today. You know, it's just I don't think I get credit that I deserve, you know, because like maybe you can make a sale, but then the repeat customers come back because they really like the product and I make the product.
Okay, so you're happy with getting absolutely nothing ever. Yeah, thank you so much for hearing me out. Fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
So they leave, and then Allie and Steven hold back, stay back. And Allie's like, so how'd you feel it really went? And he's like, well, it's very hard to do a meeting with Casey's attitude. I'll be honest. Oh, God. Suddenly, Steven is going to be policing someone else's attitude when he's the one being a dick in every single scene of every single episode of all time and throwing off his microphone after he talks to Allie outside, like, Jimmy's party or James, whatever that guy's name is. Like, really? You're going to be the one to complain about someone's attitude? You're literally sitting on here out here foaming at the mouth, complaining, roid raged out, and you're going to complain about someone's attitude. So Allie's like, yeah, I was surprised that you didn't tick. He's like, well, are they out there? Can they hear me? She's like, I don't know. What's wrong? That's a scary face you're making.
No, it's my happy face, actually. But did you hear at the end? She says, oh, this practice mine. Casey says, Steven, you haven't even come by one time to make a fucking recipe. Casey, I could hire $50 an hour to work. I could hire $50 an hour to make this fucking shit.
I'm like, then why don't you? Like, don't.
And that's exactly what Casey was talking about. As far as like not being valued, he's like, how dare she accuse me of not showing her any value when I could get someone less than minimum wage to do the shit that she's doing, idiot.
Well, you obviously think that there's value in what Casey's doing, because why did you suddenly come in and decide you can blow this up into being a multimillion dollar thing? And now suddenly, like, what she's done is just like, oh, whatever. You can just get some, you know, temp worker and just throw it on there, get in some gloves and mold the tallow into a jar.
Yeah. So Allie's like, oh, I don't think he's speaking up because he's afraid he's gonna burst on TV again, and he doesn't want to do that. And she says, why didn't you say that to her face? And he's like, because I didn't do that, because she's sitting there already pissed off, and that's the problem with family businesses. You can't be direct like you would be with a normal situation. Hey.
Literally, Casey was direct about everything, and the one who is the most furious is you right now.
Yeah, Casey was pissy. I mean, Casey did come with the pissy attitude, but I think that you're right, that he's the one screaming and yelling all the time, and for him to judge that is crazy. Also, there does seem something, we don't find out till later in the episode what is maybe going on, but first of all, it's super weird that he was like, oh, sure, Casey, you can make a beef tallow company with all of the products, all the discarded products of our cattle, and just keep 100%. That sounded crazy to me that he would ever do that, because it sounds very out of character. And then her coming in, like, clearly upset, and then them talking, there is something fishy going on here. It's something, weird. Mm-hmm. Are they doing it? Let's go to Jesse and Allie's city house. Mm-hmm. Jesse is watching the baby crawl around, and she comes in and, you know, their chemistry is burning off the screen. They still resent each other and stuff. Jesse's just sitting there with this creepy little doll smile. And now they're talking about Vegas, because there's going to be this trip to Vegas for the Cowboy Christmas. And she wants to go. And he does not want to go. And she's like, I think it could help our marriage. And he's like,
well, I mean, I just don't get that. You know, the bank's got to see that somebody's working here. You know, if they look on Instagram and something and see everybody's in Vegas, then they're going to get real upset that, you know, Jesse McBee's not sitting there waiting for the bull wash to complete business for the day.
Yeah. I think what's more damning is just filming this TV show. I think that's going to be worse for investors. Yeah. Not you going to Vegas, the cowboy.
You just shot a scene taking your dad to prison. So Vegas is pretty small compared to that.
Last week we watched you not be able to get out of a combine. So
you literally cannot open the tractor door. So
well, they say that these investors think people. We now have to double check that.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Nothing important. So Allie is telling us, now we used to be so in love, and now we're just like friends who live together. So she's asking him why he doesn't want to go. And he's like, it's bad optics with my dad going to prison, and now we're all out in Vegas partying. She's like, it's clearly not the optics. Since when does Jesse give a shit about any of this?
Yeah. And so we see montage of their relationship. And Jesse says, I mean, the truth is that Allie and I's relationship is not the best that it's been right now. And I don't want others to see that. And let me tell you something. We are seeing it, and we're bored by it. He's like, "Bet we've always kept everything in-house, and I really don't think it's a good idea to go out there and air out all our problems so they can give their advice. And honestly, it's not their relationship to solve." Like, you're going to Vegas, bro. Like, let's not overthink this. You're going to go get some beer, do something weird and kinky at Cowboy Christmas, and you'll come home and act like nothing happened. It's fine.
If it was just a boys' trip, he would want to go. But that it's all the girls are coming too, he's like, no. He's already avoiding Allie as much as possible. He would actually have to sit and have multiple meals with Allie and spend time with her. I think he doesn't want to be with Allie.
To go
so he could, yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't also want Allie to go and like talk about how bad their relationship is with all the other girls. And he doesn't want the girls to be like, what's going on with you guys? Have you guys started your 10 days of intimacy? He just doesn't want any of it. You're right. If it was just boys' trip, he'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah, they'll be like, kiss, kiss, you guys should kiss. I'll be like, kissing in public.
Yeah.
What are we praying for Satan to enfold us in his arms? So then we go to the Farm Fulfillment Center again. Big day at the Farm Fulfillment Center.
Big day.
Steve and Cole talk.
Nothing.
What is it?
It's not called fulfilling for nothing. I mean, we go back to be fulfilled.
They need to keep putting up the word fulfillment over and over to kind of brainwash you into thinking this is worth your time. So Steven's like, you know, this whole Tallow deal, like, it's got me more stressed because, you know, not because of the personal relationship with Casey, you know, but because of the personal relationship I have with you as my brother. I want this business to be what it could be. And I can see the potential. We're sitting on a good opportunity. Okay. And Cole's like,
well, me and her talked, and I said, Casey, you really did have an attitude the whole time. You know, I was like, you know, you're not really pleasant to talk to in that meeting, Casey.
And he's like, yeah, does she just shut down like that whenever you're arguing with her?
He's like, well, she definitely just shut down a lot more when talking to you compared to with me and her arguing. But like, you know, she usually lets me hear it. So then Jesse walks in and is like, so, hey, Jesse, wait a second. Did you not get packed up for Vegas yet? Why are you not packed up? And Jesse's like, no, not yet. Well, you better get packed up because soon we're going to have to get more packed up. He's like,
yeah, we're about to leave here soon. We're about to go to Vegas for Cowboy Christmas.
He's like, yeah, I don't know about Vegas.
What? What do you mean you don't know about Vegas? That's Cowboy Christmas and NFR. Rodeo and Christmas. Rodeo and Cowboy Christmas is the best time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Just like the song says, why aren't you coming to Cowboy Christmas?
I'm not going to Vegas, and that's the end of it. People have to know at least someone here cares about the businesses. Like, aren't you serious? This is the most important cowboy thing in all the planet. You better come. You better come and show some face.
And he's like, well, someone with the last name McBean needs to be here. Okay. So this is ridiculous. So Cole's like,
but mom got all these sweets out there. You got to tell mom you're not going to go and say no to mom. If you see mom's going to cry, she spent this entire fall getting pumpkins for our homes.
Now, Cole, you do know that mama left make got us sweets, S-U-I-T-E-S, not S-W-E-E-T-S, right?
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. I'm still excited about Vegas, I guess.
Gotta eat.
So Junior is like,
he seems like he's in a funk.
You think so? He's staring at the ground, like kicking dirt, being like, I just don't think it's possible. So Jesse refuses to bend on this, and he leaves. And he's like, Viva Las Vegas, bitches. And
he is literally the most pessimistic person about Cowboy Christmas I ever met. I mean, what's going to happen when I sit on Cowboy Santa's lap and wish for tallow and no one's there to take a picture of it? You know, Colts will be lost in some sort of chocolate fudge fountain. Jesse's supposed to be the one taking the picture. Now who's going to take the picture of me with Santa Pappy? I don't get it.
Yeah. So now we go to Tegan shopping with Allie and the girls at a country western store to get Vegas stuff.
Oh, yeah. Be fun.
Yeah.
They're going to the fashion capital of Missouri, Nigro's Western Store. So Allie is she's like they're browsing through the dusty racks of clothing, and the girls all meet up with each other. Tegan comes in, she's like, guys, I dress like ketchup today. They're like, oh my god, Key Tegan looks so nice. And Casey is like, I really like Allie and I want to go get to know her on a personal level, but after the meeting, it's just like a little awkward for me.
Yeah. And Allie's like, the telemeeting didn't go as expected. I still want to make sure whatever is between her and Steven is between her and Steven. So we're going to talk about it. So I'm going to bring myself into it by talking about it right now. Okay, Allie. So they're talking about how they're going to do a bachelorette for Casey. And it's a surprise. And she's like, wait, what is the surprise? Girl, they could be literally anything and it would be a surprise. I'm sorry. But just so she's not too shocked. Yeah, they just tell her they're going to the Thunder Down Under. Crazy. I can't believe a reality show is going to go see a strip show of men in Vegas.
And Casey's like, what is that? It's like, oh, wow. We forgot that this girl only saw her first mountain last year. So Allie is like,
and then Cole beat it up.
I never done seen a mountain before. So it's strippers, and Allie's like, yeah, I mean, I did get my bum played like the congas, and I got in trouble, so I don't want to hear it. So they're like excited that they're going to be seeing some hot guys. And then Allie is like, oh, yeah, and this needs to be activated in the 10 days challenge, by the way. How's the 10 days of intimacy going? And Allie's like, well, I mean, that was out the window the day that happened. 10 days, more like 0 days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so their relationship still sucks, and Jesse doesn't even want to go. So they're like, what? We have to make Jesse come with you. Let's find you something sexy here at this General Cowboy store.
I know. Do you have any burlap lingerie?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go to Jesse and Allie's house, and Jesse's just sitting there staring at Summer on the baby cam, and Christy walks in with gigantic coffee
size.
I mean, get them a doll. They need wheels. They're huge.
Frappuccinos. It was like she brought in two giant arcade games. So she's like, you want this coffee? It has Pac-Man on it. And so they're talking, and she's like, so I know the girls were shopping and you had Summer and everything, so I thought I'd come up to see how you're doing. You know, there's such a thing as text messaging, Mom. You don't have to come all the way to this house. And he's like, yeah,
they're getting excited. I thought I'd pick on you, just meddling with the baby. It's just so hard on a man.
He's like, yeah, it's me. I'm in charge of babysitting today. Mm. Really? Men still say that?
So he's saying that he's not
going. It's your baby, dummy.
I know. He's like, I don't know. I'm not going to go to Cowboy Christmas this year. She's like, what? You have to go. NFR. Come on, Cowboy Christmas. He's like, I could list a million excuses, but I think I kind of put our relationship on the back burner a little bit. Not that I wasn't still there, but it's like, okay, we have all this other stuff going on. So I don't know. She's like, it happens. And look, I kind of made a deal with the Golden Nugget Casino that we'd take up three of their suites and we'd get them for free as long as we showed three different suites on TV. So you kind of have to go. Otherwise, this whole thing goes to shit. So
it's like, but Dad just went to prison. I don't think that's appropriate. It's like, honey, Las Vegas was built by either men in prison or men whose fathers are in prison. This is the most appropriate place to go.
What? Things are hard in my relationship.
Well, you know, Alex just suffering through a little postpartum. That's something you can't really prepare for, okay? You don't know how that is. You just need to go with Allie for a couple of days. Stop staring at the phone. Is that a still picture on your phone? He's like,
I'm babysitting.
You don't know. It's like the optics of all those upstanding car wash and beef people in our industry. I just don't want them thinking that we are irresponsible. You know how it is.
She's like, okay, well, just let Allie feel a little bit normal again and a little connected with you. And I think that would help. I mean, you've been her person since high school.
And he gives this sigh like, yeah, since high school.
Yeah.
Just me and Allie.
Yeah.
Just me.
We see pictures of them as kids, basically. She's like, they used to talk on the phone 24 hours a day, and now you're telling me they can't get it back? Yeah. Looks like it. So then we go back to the women shopping at the cowboy store, And the conversation has moved to Steven. Casey's like, do you think it's going to be awkward with Steven and I in Vegas? And Allie's like, do you think so? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are you feeling? She's like, definitely not happy with them. Oh my God, are you guys mad at them? Is everybody mad at them? I'm like, no, it's just Casey. And she's like, oh my God, I hope you're not mad at me. She goes, yeah, you'd know if Casey was mad at you. You'd know. Casey, give me a look when you're happy. Give me a look when you're sad. Give me a look when you're mad. See?
Not really, but I guess I'll trust you on that one.
So Casey reveals that Steven, shocker, sent her an angry text and told her that she was miserable and yada, yada, yada. And the text says,
the attitude in that meeting, I want absolutely nothing to do with. And that meeting with you, I left absolutely fucking miserable.
And it was like the whole text, like,
you're just the way you acted like that. I'm trying to make talent with you. I'm trying to get in the talent business with you. And the way you're acting is absolutely unacceptable. That attitude, that little stupid attitude, now go to your room.
So, Allie,
as someone who is 5'8" and blonde, I naturally respect you. But this is too far.
You haven't even tried to sell any memberships this afternoon, which is the only thing you can sell memberships from June 3rd.
And Allie's like, what? I mean, I didn't even know that. That's crazy. Did you respond? And she's like, well, I've been calling him and texting him and he won't answer about it.
She's like, really?
He told me you were the one who wouldn't answer. Okay, so you do know.
You do know. You know this.
She's like, well, I knew he sent a text, but I didn't know it was a mean text. And so Casey's like, typical Steven, you know, making himself sound like a hero in a story. So Allie's like, tell me about the text. What did he say? Because I didn't know that it was bad. And she's like, it was a bunch of rage text. So I just told him, I just want to tell you my side of things. And then he didn't answer those. And so I unsent them.
He unsent them? Why would you do that? Yeah, let them fish here. So Allie says, she's like, well, from what Steven's told me, he has a very close relationship with Casey, and I'm just trying to figure out exactly what their dynamic is. Let's put this finance degree to work, okay? Because the tension between those two, I think it's just weird. So she's like, I want to get to the bottom of it. And she's like, Allie goes, I need to ask someone to show me the messages. I'm like, Casey is literally right there. Why don't you look on her phone?
Yeah, but Casey also just said she unsent stuff, which is... I don't know who does that. Like especially if you're having an argument with somebody, you want to keep the messages because that's your proof of stuff later. You whip out your phone. Duh. Are you guys new to Bravo? So, Tegan's like, yeah, I would definitely ask to see them. But also like, you know, that he's sending that energy to someone else. So part of you's gotta be like, God, I hope he doesn't send that energy to me one day. And Ellie's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, people with bad tempers, they famously are really good about like making sure the people they love the most don't receive it. So
exactly.
Don't worry about it. So now we go to Steve Jr.'s Kansas City condo. And Allie and Steven are there. And Allie is like, hey, so the girls asked if you freaked out. And I said he didn't. And like, how mad were you actually? He's like,
I wasn't mad. I was working on my patience. A lot of Mel Robbins. Like watching Mel Robbins and Danny Glover in LA fighting crimes and watching Mel Robbins and, you know, with Goldie Hawn just, you know, trying to escape from bad guys and a lot of Mel Robbins getting a little drunk and going off to moochers.
You're talking about Mel Gibson?
Oh, that makes
you
more
know,
sense.
Mel Robbins. I was, you know, I would hear a ding, ding, ding and I would say, kiss my grits, Mel.
That's Mel from Bell's Diner on Alice.
Oh, damn it.
Oh. You know, sometimes I would just be listening to Mel Robbins and I'd be like, you know what I gotta do? I gotta sing A Shackle for Your Thoughts.
That's Mel Brooks.
Oh!
So Mel Robbins made Apocalypto?
You're back to Mel Gibson.
Damn it. Okay, hold on. Let me look up Mel Robbins right here on my phone. Oh my gosh, I really respect this person. She's between 5'6", 5'8", and blonde. Perfect.
But I'm still going to listen to Mel Gibson. That guy's got a lot of good advice.
So Allie is like, yeah, so I want to talk to you about like patience and stuff. And she tells us, my most serious relationship, there were signs before we went through with the wedding that my family strongly encouraged me to like not get married to this person. I was like, what do you guys think of them? And they just all ran away. I was like, guys, stop playing this game with me. I need an answer sometime in my life. So there were red flags. And I just want to make sure that like something like that doesn't happen again by dating Stephen McBee, someone whose red flags have been documented in pop culture for now going on to a third year.
Yeah, so she says, like, I was talking to the girls. They're making you feel like you sent texts that I don't know about because their reaction was you sent, like, relationship-altering texts. So I couldn't defend it because, you know, the three people that you know really well were making it seem like I was the one missing something. So I was like, is Stephen a liar? He's like, no.
And I will tell you, this is not the first time that they have taken something. Those three, they get together. And they take some and they twist it and they twist it and they twist it. In other words, they're women. Okay? And we all know how women are. Not you. Not you. You're the only one that's not like this. Cannot wait to raise my children with you in a private school where we talk about memberships.
They need to spend more time journaling, specifically between 4 to 6 a.m. I'm sorry, that's when men journal, because the women's still asleep, because the woman wakes up at 6 a.m., if we remember correctly. But anyway, the point is this. They're women. They just get together. They got nothing else to do but just to talk and gossip and go after the man who wants to save them.
And Allie's like, well, can you just like tell me what these texts are? And he's like, okay, here we go.
Thanks for meeting. I'm happy that how we win, isn't it?
She's like, can I just see the text with my own eyes while you're reading? She's like,
okay. Well, I said, no offense at all, but the attitude in that meeting yesterday, it was absolutely not. I was absolutely nothing to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. I will not work with someone who acts like that in the business meeting. I mean, you got a lot going on with Blair, and I don't want to run your personal relationship to work together. And when it's like, I don't want to ruin our relationship when it's obvious by the eye rolling and the attitude that you're not happy with it. And as a woman, you shouldn't roll your eyes at a man because the man will be provided for you. Thank you very much for your time.
So it just goes on and it ends with,
and candidly, being in that meeting with you, I left absolutely fucking miserable.
But he's reading it kind of like it's calm. But Allie's just like putting her hands over her face, like, oh my God, like, duh. But then she says her answer to him is, well, that's really confusing because I don't know what messages they felt like they saw. If you got this message from somebody and you know the tone in his voice, you wouldn't take this as being told off. Come on, Allie.
It's so condescending. At its best,
yeah,
it's straight talk, but condescending. At its worst, it's actually rude and aggressive. And
calling like, somebody unprofessional and then being like, well, you listen here. I will not have that attitude. I live fucking miserable.
Because whole, like, first of all, the eye rolling and the attitude, I'm not going to put up with that. Just say, I felt there was a lot of tension between us. I respect our relationship too much. I don't want to go down this path. I think that, like, maybe we shouldn't be working together on this because our relationship is more important. But instead, he's like, your attitude and the way you're behaving, that's absolutely crazy. You're unprofessional and you're just stupid. You know, it's like it was a terrible text.
Yeah, he's like, but I read it back calmly, so that means I'm getting better at communication. And these three women standing around a cauldron, making it into something it's not.
She's like, yeah, I mean, maybe we should just call her then. Because, like, I don't got it. Okay, Allie. So, Stephen says that he's really tried to improve his mistakes since his last relationship and be a good man and a good boyfriend and a good communicator. You're doing terribly, okay? And just saying over and over to the camera that you're working on yourself, it's very Bravo man, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm a different man. No, you're not. You're doing the same shit. You just had a fit last week and screamed at production and threw off your mic.
So Allie calls up. She's like, hi, Casey. Steven's with me. What are you doing? She's like, nothing, about to get my spray tan. I'm next in line. I got about a minute. It's like, okay. The first time Casey has ever shown any urgency in her entire life. I've never seen her speak more, as quickly. So Allie's like,
Allie says, I just talked to Steven. We went through the messages. And I will say, there wasn't anything that was different than what he told me originally. So Casey's like, yeah, it's not the messages I'm concerned at. Like, I was upset at first, but I just wanted to see where you and I were going to stand after that. And like, I had some stuff I wanted to say and tried to call you and then you wouldn't call me back, you know? And, I said, I don't want to talk about the business. I want to talk about our relationship, Steven, you know, like I wanted to talk to you like myself directly to you. And not you on a fucking conference call with your girlfriend again,
yeah,
who you're trying to give percentages of my business.
So he says,
for me, Casey, the thing that I no longer will allow is that I'm not going to allow myself to talk to you without Cole present, because I don't want to be playing a game of telephone, even though we are literally on the telephone, where you and I communicate and it gets back to Cole and he wasn't there to actually witness it or hear it himself. And I think that puts me in a very, very precarious position. Like, I could have said some outlandish things to you, and then there's no way of proving to me that I didn't say it, because it's an offhand conversation between you and I.
And Allie's like, I kind of disagree. I think you guys need to like talk more without Cole, okay? You guys need to like don't lose sight of that, okay?
He's like, well, I don't know if I agree with that, because when Casey and I are communicating directly and there's no one else involved, that's where things get made up and imaginary situations get in hand. For instance, the last time Casey and I would communicate directly and I would be telling her about my date, and then that's when Allie says I have an inappropriate relationship with Casey. I don't happen during Cowboy Christmas of all the times, most precious time of the year.
Whoa. So now it comes out. So he's been accused by Jesse's Allie of having an inappropriate relationship with Casey. What? So then he tells us a couple of months ago, Allie McBee, she was going around telling people that Casey and I had an inappropriate relationship, and it's weird that Cole needs to keep his eye on us. Whoa. And the producer's like, where do you think she got that from? And he's like, I think it comes from a place of jealousy, because it was a female seeing me, handsome male, talking to a female. So that's pretty much all I got to say on that one. Listen, if you want to know what's inside somebody's brain, you need to check and see whether or not they have boobies.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, well, how am I supposed to defend that? Because like, no one there is the witness what's being said. Casey, do you agree? Do you not agree that the single most discriminated person in the world right now is a white, straight male? That's what I'm receiving right now.
Casey's like, Steven, I think that you and I just used to be able to communicate just fine, but I'm somewhere, so it's hard to have a conversation. I'm literally getting spray tanned right now. I'm getting spray tanned.
He's like, okay, well, we'll have a good spray tan. We'll talk to you later, bitch.
So Steven says that he's never really discussed with Casey what Allie McBee said about Casey and I's relationship,
just because it was so outlandish. We were shocked, pissed off, and now it's awkward as hell. So embarrassing me to even have to bring this up right now. And there is not one single thing that would be inappropriate between Casey and I. There never has been, and there never will be, and now this makes it fucking weird.
Casey is exactly on paper what you described that you like. And suddenly, so before I even say anything, let's see what Allie says. So Allie's like, what? Did you talk to Casey? And he's like, no, I talked to Cole about it. And he's like, I understand it's a rumor, but it's so dumb. So she's like, well, why would Allie start that rumor? Did you talk to Jesse about that comment? And he's like, no. Does he know about the comment?
Well, I'm sure he does.
Okay. Where would he have gotten that from? Where would Allie have gotten that from?
She's like, I don't know.
So she just pulled it out of her ass. He's like,
I live on the farm. Cole and Casey live on the farm with Blair. So I go over there a lot to see Blair. And I don't know if it came from a place of jealousy or why Allie would have said that.
Steven was just showing up to see a baby all the time. I don't believe that.
It is weird. So Allie is like, well, it's a pretty bold statement to make. I mean, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, where the fuck did that come from? She's like,
you know what? It's so neat. So needless to say, there's a reason why I won't communicate directly with Casey one-on-one. And I think it's very, very smart of me to do that. It's putting me in a dangerous situation. And I don't like how you're telling me that I need to communicate directly with Casey. And I'm telling you, hey, I'm not comfortable doing that because I don't like how you made me feel weird and I wouldn't want to do that.
I'm like, okay, but like, you just communicated with Casey and Allie was there. So you had a witness that nothing, you know, crazy was going on. So why do you need Cole there as well? And Allie's like, I just think it's weird. I mean, this is your sister-in-law, and the fact that you can't have a conversation face-to-face with your sister-in-law and you're going to be business partners with her, that's fucking weird. And I'm just going to be honest, that's weird without the context. And the context is even fucking weirder. Like, all of it is like fucking weird. And the fact that you and Casey never even talked about it is like, wait for it. Even weirder.
Really weird. This is all weird. Because if Steven, if this is all true and you're best friends with Casey and you're hanging out and then Allie's making some comments about it and it's completely ridiculous, I don't think the natural response is just, I'm never going to speak to Casey again. Unless, no. I think you guys would laugh it off and be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and go about your day, right? You're acting guilty.
But also, like, why would you go into business with someone who you can't, like, be alone and have a conversation with, where you're concerned about that. So, like, it is all strange. Again, I just think that this was really, it was really weird, if I'm going to use Allie's language, that they didn't plant this seed earlier in the season. This is so sloppy. Like, they just decided to, like, throw in this thing. We could have had, like, a very interesting personal dynamic going on throughout the whole season. There could have been something, stuff that we could have, like, cared about in terms of their relationships. This could have given us a way in to think about, like, maybe this informs why Jesse and Allie are having issues. Maybe he feels some sort of way about the fact that his wife, you know, started a rumor about his brothers, and maybe, like, there's, it, like, could have added so much texture to this show. And the fact that they just, like, didn't do anything with it all this time, to me, just shows that, like, the McBee dynasty is not in the right hands as a TV show.
Well, but it also kind of shows some shadiness of what is really going on, because one second, Casey, you're saying, okay, Casey, I want you to do this tallow business. You're going to make 100% of the profits, which sounds out of character, even though we know that this is true because he said it. So it's like he corroborated it. I mean, so that's odd in the first place. And then the new girlfriend comes in, and then suddenly you're like, oh no, you don't get 100% anymore. Now this girl's going to get 20% of it. And then she's sending him messages upset, and then unsending the messages, so they're no longer on her phone. And then he's suddenly coming out with, oh, well, we were just friends. And then they're making it sound like it's something more. It does sound like it's something more at this point. And at least Allie is, you know, smart enough to be like, no, there's something, what the fuck is going on here? This is nuts. Like, somebody, or it's weird. So somebody needs to explain what's going on, because when you come out with something that late, I don't even know if it's bad storytelling or if it's just somebody kind of backpedaling and trying to cover up something that's about to come out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Well, fishy. Well, either way, it is fishy and it is strange. And we'll be taking all these question marks with us to Vegas next week when they go to Cowboy Christmas.
Will Jesse show up, or will he be the only person that stays in Gallatin to show the banks that he cares?
Optics, guys. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for being here. And we'll catch you on the next episode of Watch What Crappens. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.